This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. After searching for nearly 6 months, U.S. forces and CIA experts have found no chemical or biological weapons in Iraq and have determined that Iraq's nuclear program was in only the very most rudimentary state, the Bush administration's chief investigator formally told Congress yesterday. Before the war, the administration said Iraq had a well-developed nuclear program that presented a threat to the United States. Now, it clearly does not look like a massive resurgent program based on what we discovered. Former UN weapons inspector David Kaye, who heads the government search, said yesterday after briefing House and Senate intelligence committees in a closed session on his interim report. The investigation into the leak of a CIA officer's name is likely to expand to other Bush administration agencies, including the State and Defense Departments, officials said Thursday. A senior Justice Department official, speaking on condition of anonymity, said that those agencies and possibly others could get letters urging officials to preserve documents such as phone logs and not to delete emails. Similar letters have already gone to the White House and CIA. The public's confidence in President Bush's ability to deal wisely with an international crisis has slid sharply over the past 5 months, a New York Times CBS News poll has found. 45% of Americans now have confidence in Mr. Bush's ability to deal wisely with an international crisis, down from 66% in April, and half now say they are uneasy about his approach. Just 40% of voters expressed confidence in Mr. Bush's ability to make the right decisions about the economy, down from half in April, while 56% said they were uneasy, up from 42% in April. Democrat Bob Graham reportedly told a Senate colleague Thursday that he would abandon his struggling presidential bid, but aides said he will continue to campaign. The Florida senator's future in the crowded Democratic field remained in doubt as the campaign made several staff changes. More after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NATPARK. There's just too much to lose.
1 in 10 Britons believe the Mona Lisa was painted by Vincent van Gogh, according to a survey published on Thursday. Over 2/5 of those polled admitted they'd never visited any of Britain's art galleries. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Time for another visit into the far, far, far out frontier of free enterprise. Today, Spaceship Hightower takes you to the cutting edge of avant-garde consumerism, where you're simply not with it unless your wardrobe accessories include the Air Supply Mini-Mate, the Evacuate Smoke Hood, and the Evacu-Shoot Parachute. Survivalist chic has arrived. In these days of code orange alerts, outbreaks of SARS, anthrax scares, the possibility of exploding tennis shoes on your airplane, and goodness knows what other hobgoblins might pop up, well, one simply has to accessorize accordingly. Luckily for the nervous set, there's been a mushrooming of businesses with all sorts of stuff to sell in the burgeoning scare market. For example, are you worried that the guy sitting next to you on your next flight might have SARS? No problem. Just hang a Mini-Mate around your neck and rest easy. It's an air purifier that supposedly kills airborne toxins. Only $145. And I'm sure it'll work as well as hanging a garlic clove around your neck to ward off vampires. Then there's the Evacuate, a plastic smoke hood that promises 15 minutes of protection. No word as to whether you attach it to your head with duct tape. And if that fails, just whip out your Evacuchute, break a window, and leap into the dark night shouting, Geronimo! But if you're really hip to fright, you'll spring for the Tote and Go 72-hour survival kit, which prepares you for, well, whatever. It's got purified water pouches, food rations, sanitation bag, poncho, flashlight, blanket, whistle, hand warmer, radio, and so much more. This is Jim Hightower saying, Franklin Roosevelt calmed a nation by saying, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. George W.'s twist is to say, we have nothing to fear if everyone buys enough fear gear. Maybe it's part of his economic stimulus.
So Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And hello, truth seekers. No, I'm not Tom Hartman. I'm Rama Schneider, sitting in for Tom, who's down haranguing a hostile Heritage Foundation today, making it assured that they may not ever want to invite him back, because once he starts laying on the facts and the truth of reality is, they might go, whoa, we have got to change the political leanings of our foundation. So we'll leave Tom to do that. He's, of course, absent with official leave. Among other things today, we're going to be looking for those missing WMD, you know, the ones over in Iraq that somebody said are over there. And we'll also be exploring the case of the missing Hollywood elite, which I think are maybe in the same dark recesses as the missing WMD. A few phone calls that we're expecting today. Now, if everything works all out all right, which, of course, in radio doesn't always, someone from the Democratic Party, I don't know who, but they're going to announce the formal kickoff of the presidential campaign today. Which, that's a rather unique, but I guess they had to formally kick it off sometime, even if they are several months late, but that's okay. So we'll get a chance to talk to somebody from the Democratic Party. In the next hour, Danny Schechter from Media Channel and Global Vision coming on to discuss media issues. In the third hour, we have a Matthew Rothschild, editor of the Progressive magazine, discussing U.S. foreign policy, the economy, federal budget, and maybe some other things. You know, that seems like a rather full slate. Other topics we're going to be bouncing around on. Well, of course, Saddam ate my WMD. Bush is falling in the polls. Rush Limbaugh and drug addiction. And I want to get to that one at some point today because I have a different take on this, okay? Something else here, Arnold Schwarzenegger and not his love of groping, though. I want to talk about his love of Germanic authority. Any connections there to Karl Rover? And Bev Harris releasing her book free online that has to do with black box voting. The Office of Management and Budget finds pollution rules pay. And boy, we've got to get to this one because this one will, I think this one will leave everybody fairly well cheered up for the weekend here. I have a rather interesting story about lesbians born as women oppressing lesbians born as men. And there's more to that story than the title would seem to imply, although I love the title and I could just go with that by itself. But there is actually some socially redeeming value to discussing that. and whatever else we can come up with today. If you want to be on the show, of course, you can do that easily. All you got to do is get to your phone and dial 1-800-TALK-YES. That would be a 1-800-825-5937. And, of course, it helps to pick up the receiver before you dial the numbers. But I think some of you can figure that one out on your own. Let's see. What else? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You want to go to the chat room. The chat room is filling up with some extremely brilliant minds, I notice. And you can do that one. Just go to tomhartman.com. And there's a link up at the top of the page that says chat. And if you click on where it says chat, you'll get to the chat room. And then you'll be in a chat room with, well, what is there? It's amazing. I mean, the brilliance just leaps at me from the screen. But for the rest of you, it's 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. So let's just dive right into things. I want to kind of set a tone for all 3 hours of this show, okay? This is the weekend coming up, and I'm telling you, I'm sitting here in the People's Republic of Vermont. It's a beautiful, sunny day, a nice temperature-wise for fall. You know, where the sun's out, we're in the 60s. And I got to tell you something. If anybody out there has thought about coming up to Vermont to see the colors, this is a great year to do this, because this is like one of my favorite times of the year, simply because I feel like I'm living in a big flower bouquet. And the colors are getting like that. We're going to have an outstanding foliage season here in Vermont. We're getting some nice cold nights. We've got lots of moisture has come down, so the leaves won't dry and fall off after about a week. They'll probably be up for a couple of weeks as just full color. It's going to be gorgeous. So in light of that, I don't want to send anybody off on the weekend feeling all angry, like, oh, those bushies, they irritate, and all those insane Californians, and Ashcroft and David K. No, we don't want to do that. I want to send you off to the weekend going, this is such a wonderful day. Dun, dun, dun. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Yes, it is. Okay, look, okay, let's just dive right into things here, though. All right. Let's start off with, how about Saddam Hussein ate my weapons of mass destruction? Yeah, you've heard that. A kid goes to school and teacher goes, where's your homework, little Billy? But teacher, the doggy ate my homework. Well, in this case, we're coming to the rather sad conclusion that, Saddam Hussein, he must be dead because he obviously ate all these weapons of mass destruction. And I can't think of any way to eat all sorts of biological agents, chemical agents, and nuclear weaponry without actually killing yourself. So I'm going to assume that Saddam is dead. And what the heck am I talking about here? Well, WashingtonPost.com, and this is a story from October 1st, entitled Hussein's Weapons May Have Been a Bluff. Yes. That's right. With no chemical or biological weapons yet found in Iraq, the U.S. official in charge of the search for Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction is pursuing the possibility that the Iraqi leader was bluffing, pretending he had distributed them to his most loyal commanders to deter the United States from invading. Such a possibility is one element in the interim report that David Kay, who heads the 1,200-person CIA-led team in Iraq, will describe before the House and Senate Intelligence Committees, well, which he did yesterday. And this is from MSNBC. This is from this morning. David Kay told Congress he needs 6 to 9 more months, and the Bush administration is asking for $600 million more to continue the hunt. And let's see, to quote David Kay, we can't say at this point in time we know most of what we're going to know about the program, Kay said, and we have not found, at this point, actual weapons. Really? You didn't find any weapons over in Iraq?
And David Kay goes on to say, whatever we find will probably differ from pre-war intelligence. Now, I got to that line, and that's a quote on David Kay. I got to that line, and all I could think of was, oh, really? It seems to me that I was reading stories, primarily in the British press, for the whole summer and fall of 2002 and the winter of 2003 and into the spring. Well, we didn't get to the spring, did we, before we invaded anyway. But I was reading all sorts of reports where unnamed intelligence sources were saying the Bushes are misusing the information that the intelligence communities was supplying them. And this wasn't just the I can't remember all the lies anymore, but you know, the aluminum tubes and Tony the Poodle Blair's claim that the 45 minutes till they can use the weapons of mass destruction and the Niger uranium, it included all of that stuff. So what they're finding, folks, and this is something we just have to understand, what they're finding is really exactly what the intelligence agencies were saying. It is also exactly what Hans Blix was saying was there. Believe it or not, Hans Blix and Mr. L. Baraday actually had been making reports through the late 90s, which said essentially that Iraq had gotten rid of the stuff. And you just need to go to, if you have web access, you go to the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy but go to their site, IAEA.com, and you can find all of those statements that they were given in front of the Security Council throughout the late 90s, saying that indeed all the nuclear weaponry was gone. Indeed, it looked like they had actually gotten rid of or destroyed all the chemical and biological stuff. And I guess the proof of the pudding is the list of stuff that they come out with for, you know, evidence that there's a good damn good thing we invaded Iraq, because look, according to the summary, inspectors have found a clandestine network of laboratories and safe houses suitable for chemical weapons research, a prison laboratory complex possibly used in human testing of biological weapons agents, new research on biological weapons agents that had not been declared to the United Nations, of course, that never gets specified, documents and equipment hidden in scientists' homes. Yes. However, I'd like to see a picture of something that doesn't look like it was in storage for 50 years. Clandestine attempts from late 99 to 2002 to obtain ballistic missile technology from North Korea, and a line of unmanned artillery vehicles that had not been fully declared to the United Nations. The report characterizes the vehicles as proof that Secretary of State Colin Powell was correct in his claim in a UN speech in February that Iraq had installed missile components at Al-Rashid Air Force Base. Well, gee, you mean a nation about to be invaded, no matter how despicable they are, might decide to try a little bit of invasion? Missing, however, is any solid evidence that Iraq succeeded in actually producing any banned weapon with all that equipment. And on that note, let's talk to Brian from New Hampshire. Come on in, draw up a seat, and what do you have to say, Brian?
Hi, first I'd like to say I think those labs that they're talking about, or that I understand completely why they would have missiles, Iraqi, they probably even whatever, they were destroying the last of their conventional missiles up till the very day we launched the war, if you remember, for Hans Blix.
Yeah, they were letting us run them over with tanks.
But whatever you have left, you want to try to defend your country, of course. But I don't think they're never going to find anything biological or chemical or of any battlefield usage unless, you know, they planned it there themselves.
Brian, hold on. We got to take a break. Why don't you hang on the phone? We come back from the break and we can continue this, all right?
Thank you.
Okay. We'll be right back. Rama Schneider for Tom Hartman. Tom, of course, giving the Heritage Foundation all sorts of hell today. So go, Tom. We'll be right back.
When Brian and Amy decided to sell their home, someone was there to make sure that things went smoothly. Someone was there to help them see it through a buyer's eyes. Someone was there to help price it, show it, close it. And when Brian and Amy found the house they wanted to buy, someone else helped them get through that process just as smoothly.
Congratulations, we did it.
If you're thinking about selling your home, work with someone who works with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life. Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One A Day Men's Health Formula. One A Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One A Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into Tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back to the It's Not Your Fault You Didn't Know show. We're talking about the best way to spend your weekends, and we have two special guests right now. On the phone is the Terminator himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Arnold. And our other guest in the studio is George W. How are you today, Mr. Bush?
What's the matter?
Okay, all of our listeners want to know what you do on your weekends. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can listen to the best of left-of-center political talk radio on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network.
Amazing.
George, yeah, your final words.
Stop it!
Thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow, same time. Have a nice day.
Just shut up!
The best of progressive talk radio can be heard on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network. For more information, call 1-800-397-8255 or go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hasta la vista, baby.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
And welcome back to the vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. However, I'm an imitation Tom, okay? You're going to have to take an imitation for today. I'm Rama Schneider, sitting in for Tom Hartman, who is absent with official leave. Out taking care of a hostile Heritage Foundation, giving them what for, and explaining to them the difference between wishful thinking and facts. So I'll be really interested in hearing how all that went. I'm sure Tom will tell us all about it next week.
But in the meantime, we have Brian from New Hampshire. And Brian, before you get back to this point, I wrote down what you were talking about, the WMD destruction of missiles and stuff, so I could ask you this question without just totally blowing us off. Okay. How are the colors, the leaves, looking over there?
In New Hampshire, they're just starting to turn. Everything's, I think it's still, it's going to be a late foliage season. I think things are staying greener, but maybe because there's a lot more moisture in the air. I don't know. I'm not a I'm not a botanist or a meteorologist to know that. But it will be. We got some beautiful country too. But I know it's hard to match Vermont. It's hard to for the foliage.
Right. Well, thank you for that. New Hampshire usually doesn't compliment Vermont. Okay.
I always do. I love your Congressman Bernie Sanders. I think he's an independent now, but he called himself a socialist for years. But in this country, you can't do that without being almost demonized, or in fact demonized by people. And he had to change to independent. I think it's ridiculous when the man is not an anti-capitalist; he's a social democrat. But that's not what I call about the WMDs. I think that this president, he's determined to find them there, even if he has to plant them there by his own special forces and himself. There's already that story from that lady from the Gulf War I veterans, and they're getting Gulf War II sickness. There's some things that some GIs, a few have died from a mystery illness where they were transporting some mysterious substances out of or into Baghdad Airport, and the Pentagon has sealed all that off, all that information. But anyways, I just want to say, mainly I wanted to call about it was Rush Limbaugh. I can't understand why people are trying to talk about this man like he's an average guy. He's a regular guy, because I've suffered from mental illness myself, and I know people that you try to help out that are on the streets, whether it's Manchester, New Hampshire, Boston, Mass., that are drug addicts. And Rush, he's always been gung-ho for the police to beat on those people, to imprison them unjustly. And his daily, I just can't listen to it most days. His rhetoric every day is the rhetoric of hatred, of fascism. You have to call it that, of social Darwinism.
Brian?
Yes.
Brian? Hold on for a minute. Here, I just want to interject. You know, you don't have to listen to Limbaugh, okay?
No, I don't.
You don't have, there is no requirement, okay?
Yeah, I don't want to lower
the guy up.
My IQ, I think, is about it's just too high, unfortunately, to really enjoy the show or whatever it is. I think it's the people that listen to him that I think they... It's easy to look for simple answers and to look for some group, that group over there or that homeless guy over there, because someone they find is lost. And like all drug addiction, I think that in Mr. Limbaugh's case too, you'll find that it's almost always, it implies some kind of deeper mental illness condition that needs to be treated. Yep. And I think in Rush's case, that definitely, that comes out on his show, at least to me.
Okay, well, Brian, I want to let you go here because I got a couple. I thank you very much for your call, and for two reasons. One is Brian touched on something that I want to get to with Rush Limbaugh on this drug thing, and this has to do with addiction and the drug war that I think is much more important than whether we can turn the screws on Rush Limbaugh or not. And I'm glad somebody else is looking at it other than me. Something else that I wanted to make sure I get to in the first part of the show, because this is, I was talking about before, I kind of wanted to set things up for a nice weekend for everybody. It's really beautiful out here. Tom likes to do the quote for the day, and I went and I got a quote, and it's a very recent one, and it comes with from somebody who has shown an immense amount of class. It's from Donovan McNabb on Limbaugh's statement. McNabb said, quote, "There should have been a comment made from the camera guys. Someone should have said something on the race issue." McNabb was simply telling us that, hey, we can make a difference. The average person, even the camera crew, will be right back after this.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. A close call for the Immigrant Workers' Freedom Ride. Two buses with the Immigrant Rights Caravan were detained by Texas Border Patrol agents outside Santa Fe last Friday. Riders refused to show identification to the agents and were released following a flurry of phone calls to the Texas Border Patrol. Organizer Claudia Medina of Albuquerque, New Mexico, says she hopes the ride will help reunite immigrant workers with family members they haven't seen in years.
Most immigrant families take around 10 to 15 years to get a petition through INS approved.
Caravans originating from 10 cities began the Freedom Ride just over a week ago. They'll converge in Washington, D.C. later this week to call for greater labor and citizenship rights for immigrants.
The resignation of New York Stock Exchange Chairman Dick Grasso for negotiating a compensation package worth nearly $200 million was originally seen as a step in the right direction toward cleaning out the overzealous greed in the stock market. But new details have surfaced that suggest Grasso's departure was more along the lines of a golden parachute. According to his contract with the NYSE, Grasso could still receive about $57 million on his way out the door. He's already pledged to forego $48 million of that, but that pledge was never formalized in writing. Even so, it would still leave Grasso eligible to collect $9.7 million.
No contract for food service and maintenance workers at the University of Miami of Ohio. 860 members of Ask Me Local 209 want a wage increase. Fewer than half of them earn more than $10 an hour. The workers went out on strike last Friday, and on Saturday they set up picket lines outside a football game against rival Cincinnati. No new talks are scheduled.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday,
Sunday,
for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday!
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heaping helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I try to stay here, but my blues go walking. My blues go walking. Go out walking. I try to stay here.
All right, this is somewhat sacrilegious interfering in good old-fashioned Southern blues, but I'm going to have to do this anyway. I'm coming to you straight from the Truth in Broadcasting. This is the Tom Hartman program. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom. Tom, of course, absent with official leave, giving a hostile Heritage Foundation what for, and I don't know, he might even be doing it right at this point. I have no idea. I'm sure Tom will tell you all about it when he comes back on Monday. On the phone with us right now, we have Tony from D.C. I guess that would be Washington, D.C. Hello, Tony.
Good morning. Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is afternoon, isn't it? I'm in Vermont. It's afternoon, so it must be afternoon. Tony, real quick, nobody knows, including me, who the heck you are. Why don't you let us know who you are and justify your existence real quick?
Well, I'm Tony Anthony. I'm the Deputy Political Director here at the DNC. I've been on board since July. Been learning the ropes, having a good time, and, you know, I'm moving forward and helping the chairman figure out a way that we can take back the White House.
Okay. Have you figured out a way yet?
Well, you know, first we need to make sure that we have a nominee before we can forge that way through. And we're going to let our Democratic voters, you know, in the upcoming months decide on who our nominee is going to be.
Right. But let me ask you, because there's a lot of curiosity. I mean, of course, the Democratic Party, like any political party that's got national base, is got a lot of different rooms to it. You know, people that like one area more than another. For instance, I was looking, it's kind of interesting, this CBS New York Times poll, I think it is, mm-hmm. that was that they've just released, in that they talk about people who prefer a Democrat nominee who supported the war with Iraq is 25% of the Democrats, opposed the war is 29%, 41% said it doesn't matter. So, I mean, just as an example, that there's different rooms there. There's people who want a nominee who supported the war. There's people who wanted a nominee that didn't support the war.
Correct.
Is the Democratic leadership playing any favorites? Are you guys, like, trying to push Lieberman, or are you trying to push Clark, or are you trying to push Dean, or are you trying to push Ron,
We're staying neutral in the race. It's up to the Democratic primary voters to decide on who they want the nominee to be, and we're just here to make sure that once we have a nominee, that we have that nominee can fly, can go on TV, so that he or she has the potential to continue throughout the summer with the onslaught of money that Bush is going to be spending to win the election. We got to make sure that our nominee will be able to compete over the summer months.
Right. Also, let me sidetrack you real quick here. I don't mean to give you intellectual whiplash, but I have the I have the attention span of a dead cat. Bob Graham, is he in or out?
At this point, as of this morning, wasn't any decision on that question. Last night, I know that the senator had denied that he would be out. But at this point, I have not heard anything that he was going to leave or that he wasn't going to leave. So right now, I say he's still in.
Okay.
I don't have any information from the information that I had last night. I don't have anything different.
Now, this is the official. Yeah, I think you're supposed to. From what I gathered, as you were calling that, this is part of an official announcement of the official opening of the presidential nomination process.
Correct. This is the DNC fall meeting. Where we're having our candidates come in, along with our leadership come in, and our DNC members to finish up writing the rules and regulations and make sure that the resolutions have gone through, and basically to prepare for the convention.
Right. So what are you guys out doing for the whole slew of candidates right now, the wannabes, people pursuing the nomination? Is there anything the party's doing for them as a group, or what?
Well, right now, I mean, just this morning, I mean, we so far we've seen Governor Dean, Senator Lieberman. I believe right now I'm not down there, but I believe General Rusty Clark is on stage. Congressman Kucinich would be on later this afternoon. Ambassador Braun would be on later this afternoon. And tomorrow we have Reverend Sharpton and Senator Edwards and Senator Graham and Congressman Gephardt. We're giving them a stage for where they can come and talk to the DNC members to lay out their platform and their plans, so that, you know, they can speak to the Democratic primary voters. So when our DNC members go back home, they can say, well, I saw this candidate and he said this. The other candidate said that, you know. But so it's a great opportunity for all the candidates.
Right. Okay. Let me just run down on this poll here. The New York Times CBS News poll that just came out. Who do you want to win the Democratic nomination? This was according to, I think, it wasn't a really big sample. Let me see. 353 Democratic primary voters.
Okay.
Clark gets 12%, Gephardt 10%, Lieberman 9%, Dean 9%, Kerry 8%. And the margin of error is plus or minus 3, so all those guys are statistically tied. And then Mosley, Braun, 4%, Sharpton, 3, Graham, 3, Edwards, 2, and Kucinich, 1. What is it about the particular candidates? What general areas do you get a sense, Tony, that Democratic voters who are going to go to the primaries are looking for when they look at these different candidates?
Well, I believe, you know, no matter who our Democratic primary voters are supporting, that they're looking for a person that's going to show leadership on the issues of homeland security, the economy, and basically, you know, instead of continuing to move America backwards and get America in more trouble and more trouble and more trouble, someone who has forward vision, to one, to get us out of debt, to two, to get us out of these international entanglements that have, one, they're where we're losing American lives and where we're spending a lot of American money that could be spent here to calm some of the ills that are going on here. So, and we have 10 candidates out there that have very different ideas on how to do all these things. And so I think that, you know, our Democratic primary voters would decide.
Lewis should be speaking up. What's something that the poor average John and Jane Doe on the street can do to help advance some of these things, to protect Social Security, to protect Medicare, to help the homeless, to reduce the deficit, all of these things? What are day-to-day things that we can do?
Well, first, you need to get involved in one, that would be go out and get registered to vote.
Right.
Two, hopefully you'll be a Democrat, but no matter what party affiliation, you know, go to your local club. Go to your local Democrat club and learn about what's going on in the Democrat Party in your city.
Right.
You know, volunteer to help a candidate. Volunteer to, you know, just, you know, we have tons of volunteers here at this DNC meeting. It is amazing that people will just come out and just help. And it's for, you know, they volunteer for free and they do amazing jobs. So just each little step that you take gives you access, and you know, you gain knowledge on how to do something. You gain knowledge on, you know, the flow of things inside your community, and then you can take another step where you can help out. You can volunteer at a homeless shelter to help feed the homeless. I mean, it's just little steps, and it's not big steps. You don't always have to be. You don't always have to give money. You can give your time.
Right, right. And oftentimes that's a lot more important than the money, as I've noticed with the time. Best chance of beating Bush, once again, Clark is still up there, followed by Gephardt. Clark 15%, Gephardt 14%, going back to that CBS News New York Times poll. And just a reminder, I'm sorry, Tony, I already forgot your last name. I didn't write it down.
This is very easy. My name is Tony Anthony.
Anthony, okay. Tony Anthony. Deputy Political Director of the DNC, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's who we're talking to. Who has the best chance of beating Bush, according to this poll? This is from those Democratic primary voters, too. Clark, 15%, Gephardt, 14%, Lieberman, 11%, Dean, 8%, Kerry, 8%, then Graham, 4%, Edwards, 3%, Sharpton, 2%, Mosley, Braun, 1%, and poor Kucinich, 0%. What is it that seems to be giving Clark this push from your perspective? And I realize I'm not looking for you. You're not sitting here saying Clark's the man or isn't the man.
Right.
Just from your perspective, he jumps in very recently, and all of a sudden he's being listed out there as one of the front runners.
Well, I think the newness, having someone new and having someone with a different background than a lot of the candidates has helped him.
Yeah.
I think that's the main. That's what has helped them the most is that the fact that, you know, our folks, the rest of the nine have been out there for a while. Clark just got in, and, you know, and it gives him a little bit more press and a little bit more people still learning about him and they're reading more about him. And so that's on everyone's mind right now.
Kind
but as
like
we go
that.
Along, you know, as you can tell by those numbers that, you know, we still have several other candidates that are out there fighting also. And so, we still have all, you know, there's still not a relatively long primary season, but, you know, we still have primaries to go to. So those numbers are bound to change back and forth between all the candidates.
Right. And Baba Mick, 1954, from our chat room there, says, best chance of beating Bush, let him finish out his term. That could be. The longer he goes, the less people like him, because the more that we... But anyway, I didn't want to get into the negative side because this is about the Democrats and what they're going to do. It's not about what other people are doing that's bad.
Right.
Here in Vermont, we have a rather, a unique way of forming our political parties, Tony. I'm not sure if it's unique nationwide, but in my experience, it seems to be. In that every 2 years, literally, we reform our political party. And it starts off with the town and the city committees, the most local committees. They get themselves organized, and then they elect people to go to the county committees, and the county committees elect people to go to the state committees, and that's the process, literally, of building the Democratic or the Republican or the Vermont Grassroots Party or any of them. That's the process one goes through in Vermont. Is the Democrat Party looking? Is it too much trying to be controlled from the top down? I'm looking at things like the DLC and whatnot. Are there too many people at the top of some pyramid trying to tell the bottom of the pyramid what to do, rather than let the bottom of the pyramid build up the whole structure?
Well, I believe that, you know, our party has many activists on the ground that have a variety of issues and concerns that they're fighting for. Our party is a vast coalition of various groups. And that, yeah. And a lot of times, a lot of the party's power and influence comes from those different groups and folks that have formed the coalition and that are pushing forward. And it, sometimes it does seem that it might seem that there's a top-down perspective, but when we hear our activists and we listen to them and we move accordingly.
Right.
You can look at various campaigns that have had a grassroots swell. And
yeah.
Hopefully whoever becomes the nominee can continue and carry that grassroots swell throughout the general election in November. And, you know, I mean, like you gave the example of Vermont, many of our state parties are configured that way, that it starts on the local municipal committee, and then you move up to the county committee, and then you move up to the state party, and then on up. And, you know, and it's that perspective that helps our national leaders not lose their home, that down-home feeling of that you come from here, and this is where the heart of the problem is, and this is what you need to be looking at, not all these things that doesn't really affect most Americans.
Okay, let me put you on the spot here, Tony, because you only got about a little less than a minute here to do this. Let me know exactly what it is that you folks are going to do that will convince me that you guys are serious about really pushing for the presidency. And you better talk fast.
Look, you know, we have a president here who wants $87 billion to rebuild Iraq, but yet he doesn't want to spend the $9 billion to help our schools. We got a president that doesn't want to fund Head Start. We got a president that basically has said one thing and done another. You know, Democrats, no matter who our nominee is going to be, or truth or the word, we're going to go out there, we're going to help rebuild our schools, we're going to help bring back the economy, and hopefully, we will be much better off than we are now over the next 4 years.
Okay, Tony Anthony, Deputy Political Director of the DNC, I want to thank you very much for your time, and good luck in your guys' pursuits. And let's get some truth and honesty back in government. We'll be right back. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman.
Create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Does Burger King have a new fire-grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our salmon, peppers, and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah.
If we don't care and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
The Tom Hartman Show.
Yeah, we're going to catch him doing something right. Senator Bob Graham of Florida said today that he will file a bill to prohibit charging service members for meals while they are hospitalized as a result of injuries or illnesses suffered while in combat or training for combat. Graham says, how can we justify spending billions of dollars on no-bid contracts to rebuild Iraq, then turn around and charge an injured soldier $8.10 a day for meals while he's being treated for war injuries? Marine Staff Sergeant Bill Merwin of Nevada, he was billed $243 for his meals while he was in the hospital because his foot got blown off in Iraq. Ain't privatization wonderful? So Bob Graham says he's going to put into Congress a law saying no more. It's against the law to charge service members for their meals. Thank you, Bob Graham. Well done.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back straight to the heart of truth. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. I'm Rama, sitting in for Tom, who's, I guess right now, supposedly giving the Heritage Foundation hell and whatnot and what for. Or if he isn't, it's because they went ahead and hid the microphone from them. Among the things we're doing today, we're looking for those missing WMD, and it's the case of the missing Hollywood elite. I'm sitting here trying to remember when was the last time I heard some wacko on MSNBC or Fox or CNN or something talk about Hollywood elite, and it's something coincidental. It's like Arnold Schwarzenegger joins the race for governor out in California. And we don't hear any more about Hollywood elites. They've gone missing. Man, there's all sorts of problems. Osama bin forgotten, Saddam Hussein, WMDs, Hollywood elites. This world's becoming swallowed up in a black hole is all I can say to that. But I do want to real quick on good old Arnie there, just a couple of quotes, because this establishes patterns, okay? We've got a pattern of groping women. We've even got suggestions of illegal assault, possible of rape. If you look at that We interview, kind of sounds like it could have been a rape, doesn't it? You know, a bunch of guys, oh, we jumped on her and took her upstairs. Yeah, uh-huh. But here's something that...
just as dangerous, and I don't want to belittle because I'd like to get to the women's side of the issue later on if we have a little more time. But a couple quotes here. This is from an article from abcnews.go.com from today. ABC News obtained a copy of an unpublished book proposal with quotes from a verbatim transcript of an interview Schwarzenegger gave in 1975 while making the film Pumping Iron. Asked who his heroes are, he answered, quote, "I admired Hitler, for instance, because he came from being a little man with almost no formal education up to power. I admire him for being such a good public speaker and for what he did with it." Okay? He is quoted as saying he, meaning a Schwarzenegger, wished he could have an experience like Hitler in the Nuremberg Stadium and have all those people scream at you, just being total agreement, whatever you'll say. And if you don't think that's bad enough, how about in a profile from Schwarzenegger appeared in U.S. News November 1990, the Terminator says, "My relationship to power and authority is that I'm all for it. People need somebody to watch over them," he explained. 95% of the people in the world need to be told what to do and how to behave. Good luck, California. We'll be back after the top of the hour news break. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. After searching for nearly 6 months, U.S. forces and CIA experts have found no chemical or biological weapons in Iraq and have determined that Iraq's nuclear program was in only the very most rudimentary state, the Bush administration's chief investigator formally told Congress yesterday. Before the war, the administration said Iraq had a well-developed nuclear program that presented a threat to the United States. Now, it clearly does not look like a massive resurgent program based on what we discovered. Former UN weapons inspector David Kaye, who heads the government's search, said yesterday after briefing House and Senate intelligence committees in a closed session on his interim report. The public's confidence in President Bush's ability to deal wisely with an international crisis has slid sharply over the past 5 months, a New York Times CBS News poll has found. 45% of Americans now have confidence in Mr. Bush's ability to deal wisely with an international crisis, down from 66% in April, and half now say they are uneasy about his approach. Just 40% of voters expressed confidence in Mr. Bush's ability to make the right decisions about the economy, down from half in April, while 56% said they were uneasy, up from 42% in April. The investigation into the leak of a CIA officer's name is likely to expand to other Bush administration agencies, including the State and Defense Departments, officials said Thursday. A senior Justice Department official, speaking on condition of anonymity, said that those agencies and possibly others could get letters urging officials to preserve documents such as phone logs and not to delete emails. Similar letters have already gone to the White House and CIA. Democrats hailed a House vote Thursday opposing administration plans to rewrite decades-old rules on overtime pay, saying it was a clear signal to the Labor Department that new rules denying benefits to millions of workers were unacceptable. More news after this.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 save the music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
British scientists say they may have worked out why the cookie crumbles. Researchers at Loughborough University in central England say the problem may be due to cooking techniques and humidity. For IE American Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Time for another visit into the far, far, far-out frontier of free enterprise. Today, Spaceship Hightower takes you to the cutting edge of avant-garde consumerism, where you're simply not with it unless your wardrobe accessories include the Air Supply Mini-Mate, the Evacuate Smoke Hood, and the Evacu-Shoot Parachute. Survivalist chic has arrived. In these days of Code Orange alerts, outbreaks of SARS, anthrax scares, the possibility of exploding tennis shoes on your airplane, and goodness knows what other hobgoblins might pop up, well, one simply has to accessorize accordingly. Luckily for the nervous set, there's been a mushrooming of businesses with all sorts of stuff to sell in the burgeoning scare market. For example, are you worried that the guy sitting next to you on your next flight might have SARS? No problem. Just hang a Mini-Mate around your neck and rest easy. It's an air purifier that supposedly kills airborne toxins. Only $145. And I'm sure it'll work as well as hanging a garlic clove around your neck to ward off vampires. Then there's the Evacuate, a plastic smoke hood that promises 15 minutes of protection. No word as to whether you attach it to your head with duct tape. And if that fails, just whip out your Evacu-Shoot, break a window, and leap into the dark night shouting, Geronimo! But if you're really hip to fright, you'll spring for the Tote-and-Go 72-Hour Survival Kit, which prepares you for, well, whatever. It's got purified water pouches, food rations, sanitation bag, poncho, flashlight, blanket, whistle, hand warmer, radio, and so much more. This is Jim Hightower saying, Franklin Roosevelt calmed a nation by saying, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. George W.'s twist is to say, we have nothing to fear if everyone buys enough fear gear. Maybe it's part of his economic stimulus plan. But if you buy all this stuff, you'll need a mule to haul it.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies. lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Well, no, not exactly. It's not Tom Hartman. It's kind of a Rama Schneider filling in for Tom Hartman, although we're still, dare I say it, bringing you the pill that will help you escape the Matrix. We know other people that are getting the pill to escape the Matrix, huh? We don't need to mention them. They're really well known in the media. But on the phone with us right now, we have a Mr. Danny Schechter. Am I pronouncing that right, Dan?
You got it.
How are you, sir?
I'm good.
And
nice to be with you.
Well,
I'm known as Danny Schechter, the news dissector. And I and I edit a website called MediaChannel.org, which is a network of over 1,000 organizations working on media issues worldwide.
Yeah.
Walter Cronkite is our lead advisor.
Oh, really? Wow, that's impressive. So let me read your bio here real quick. It's a short one. A noted media critic and analyst, Danny is a founder and vice president, executive producer of Global Vision Incorporated, an award-winning media company formed in 1987. You're also a former Emmy Award-winning ABC News from 2020 and CNN producer. And your latest book is Media Wars News in a Time of Terror. Is all of that correct?
That's almost correct.
Okay.
My new book, which is just coming out, is about the media coverage of the Iraq War. Very timely, very relevant, called Embedded Weapons of Mass Deception, How the Media Failed to Cover the Iraq War. And this is coming out from Prometheus Books. It's also available right now online at MediaChannel.org. So I'm a media maker who's also a media critic and kind of critiquing the media and also making media. And I'm also working on a film about the media coverage of the war.
So you're filming the media, huh? Are you filming radio?
Well, I'm not filming radio. I actually worked in radio for 10 years at WBCN in Boston. So I was on air there, and I know a lot about radio. What I'm trying to focus on is where Americans, most Americans, get their news, what kind of news they get, what they're learning, what they're not learning, and why it is that we're being fed this kind of pabulum and this uncritical stream of news goo, you know, if you will.
Well, let me just point out, judging by the stream over on our chat room, which you can get to, folks, if you have internet access, you go to tomhartman.com and you'll see a link for chat. And if you click on that, it'll take you over to the chat room. But Tom right now, Tom Hartman, the regular host for this show, is down giving the Heritage Foundation hell today. And apparently that's going on right now. And he's having to, I guess, get beyond people that are being rude and interrupting and laughing. And is that part of the media? I mean, it just seems like now it's a free-for-all out there.
Well, I think what we've seen as newsbiz merge with showbiz, what we've seen are more showbiz formats infiltrating into news programming. Now, the most successful program in cable television, the cable universe, is wrestling, okay? So the idea is to take the dynamic of wrestling, confrontation, stereotype, you know, positions, caricatures, cartoons, and put that into the news format with so-called shout shows, people screaming at each other, a lot more heat than light. And this has been a trend for quite some time now.
Right. And we're talking to Danny Schechter, the news dissector. He's with MediaChannel.org and GlobalVision.org. And if you want to get in on the show, you can do that by dialing 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Well, what are the, what's the, I guess, the biggest issues in the media right now that are getting poor coverage? Not necessarily no coverage. It could be no coverage, but I'll leave it at poor coverage.
Well, I think I don't know where to start, okay, to be honest with you.
Okay, give me the top two.
We have the scandal in Washington with Joe Wilson, CIA, leaking the name of a CIA agent. You know, an issue that first surfaced in July, finally getting into people's, getting some attention now after being ignored essentially by the media. Arnold Schwarzenegger apologizing for sexist behavior, which was written about in 2001 in Premier Magazine and many other outlets. Nobody in the media seems to remember any of that. There's kind of an amnesia outbreak. Rush Limbaugh, your adversary, if you will, in talk radio, he's having problems because suddenly it's emerging that the man was a pill popper and had a lot of serious problems that we're just finding out right now. So, you know, there's everywhere you turn and anywhere you turn, you'll find that you have to learn how to scratch deeper, listen to other voices, read, you know, independent media like Media Channel and other outlets to try to find out what's really going on. Because if you just rely on mainstream news, you'll find yourself, you know, kind of going crazy.
Right. I'm trying to find, I wrote it down somewhere so I wouldn't forget, but this morning I was watching CNN and President Bush was heading off to, I guess, Texas or something. And I wrote down the exact quote. I don't have the piece of paper available real quick. But essentially what he said was that part of Kay's report stated, and Bush was unequivocal about it, that they found clandestine laboratory system ready to go with weapons of mass destruction. But instead, actually, what Kay's report said was a clandestine network of laboratories and safe houses suitable for chemical weapons research. Now, Bush is I've noticed he can basically say what he wants, and he very rarely, if ever, gets called on it. But these statements have a real effect on the people who are listening.
Yesterday, if I could just, you know, tell you about a new study that just came out. It was a kind of 10,000 people, a big sampling, trying to investigate why we have all these misrepresentations, why people continue to believe in large numbers that there were Iraqi hijackers, that Saddam Hussein had a link with Al-Qaeda, that the weapons of mass destruction have been found. A lot of people think they have been found, Why is that? Why are they getting that impression, and where are they getting it from? And this study basically did an analysis of, you know, interviewed people about what news outlets they relied on, and they found, you know, if you watch Fox News, that's about 45%, you know, of the people are, you know, filled with these misrepresentations. If you PBS, NPR, 11%. And it's because they don't contextualize news, they don't offer perspective, they don't explain things clearly, they give impressions, there's innuendo, there's images and graphics that give an impression that is often contradicted by the facts, but nobody points that out. And so the media system here is actually an accomplice to the government, is playing a very uncritical role, and deserves to be held accountable for that. And that's why we need to make media a focus and talk about it and try to get people to recognize that they need other information. Just like if you have a diet and all you're eating is like greasy French fries, you're going to get sick, you know. You have to diversify, you know. And so we have to diversify our information diet, too.
Well, I love my greasy French fries, but you're right. I eat a whole lot of other things. And what you're saying about the pictures is, I noticed too, a lot of times when they're talking, like they're doing these stories about weapons of mass destruction and how they haven't found them, they always show a graphic of somebody dressed up in a chemical suit walking around artillery shells.
Right.
You know?
Again, I mean, the impression is one thing. The reality is something very different. You know, the Saddam statues toppled, you know, well, the U.S. military toppled it. It wasn't like the people toppled it. It's not the same thing like the people in Berlin who are, you know, chipping away at the wall, you know.
Right.
You know, this was done by the U.S. military. You know, Jessica Lynch, you know, she was, like, captured. And, you know, and then we later learn, oh, my God, she was in an auto accident, you know. So a lot of the reality, the facts, contradict the impressions that we have. But sometimes the first impressions that you have are the ones that influence you. You know, a lot of people swear they saw President Kennedy assassinated on TV, but it wasn't carried live, you know. But they remember this having been carried live. So there's a way in which the human mind plays tricks on itself, but also aided and abetted when you have somebody like Vice President Cheney constantly talking about the Al-Qaeda-Iraq connection with no evidence. Yep. it's not surprising that, that a lot of people, oh, yeah, I heard about that, sure. The, you know, of course there's a connection, you know.
Right. We're talking to Danny Schechter, the media dissector with MediaChannel.org, and he's also, I guess, a founder or a co-founder of GlobalVision.org.
Yeah, right. Founder. GlobalVision is an independent television and video company that does tries
production
to do progressive television programming.
Yeah, actually, it's worth a visit for folks that are interested in that sort of thing. I was kind of cruising around it. I guess, it's kind of funny how you present things really does have an effect on the message that gets through. And I've seen enough studies on false memories and how easy it is to put something in somebody's brain. What is it, Danny, that Jane and John Doe on the street can do on a day-to-day thing to counteract this effect? I mean, look, people are busy. They have a lot of they have a busy day. And I know here in Vermont, there's a lot of good family people. They get up, they go to work all day, they come home, they want to spend some time with their kids. And most of them are not most, but a lot are taking their kids to extracurricular activities after the school hours. And there's a lot of community involvement in things. So people tend to catch news and information and bits and scraps, and what is it that, for instance, I could do when I walk away from this microphone today that would help to counteract some of the false impressions?
Well, you know, I mean, I think first of all, the fact that you're at a microphone at all is a tribute to somebody, you know, actually offering other perspectives on the radio. So one thing people can do is try to find shows like yours and like Tom's here, and you know, to try to tune into more independent and alternative media perspectives. That's one thing that we can do. We can also take responsibility for our media choices and, you know, try to recognize that we need to compare and contrast, you know, coverage, just like you might go to McDonald's one day and Burger King the next. You want to compare and contrast. You want to see what else is out there. A BBC, CBC in Vermont, I think you can see Canadian television news.
Yeah, certain places, but we can get that on the radio, too.
All right, but, you know, you can see the tremendous difference. That doesn't mean the Canadian news is great, eh? But it does mean... but it does
keep
mean,
speaking in French.
Yeah, but it does mean, you know, that other people are not getting the same information we're getting, and we're not getting what they're getting. And, you know, that should be of interest to people. Why is it that most Americans really are so poorly informed about the war? Only 13% of young people knew where Iraq was on a map.
Okay, Danny, we're going to be stopping here for a commercial break in about 20 seconds. Do you have to run, or can I get you to stick around till the bottom half of the hour?
Yeah, I'll be here. I'll be with you.
Okay, if you just hold on when we come back, I want 5 more minutes. I'll let you promo your book. I'd like to hear about them. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, yes it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Does Burger King have a new fire-grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, man, you can't eat all of our samples.
Aww.
Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Time for another visit into the far, far, far out frontier of free enterprise. Today, Spaceship Hightower takes you to the cutting edge of avant-garde consumerism, where you're simply not with it unless your wardrobe accessories include the Air Supply Mini-Mate, the Evacuate Smoke Hood, and the Evacu-Shoot Parachute. Survivalist chic has arrived. In these days of code orange alerts, outbreaks of SARS, anthrax scares, the possibility of exploding tennis shoes on your airplane, and goodness knows what other hobgoblins might pop up, well, one simply has to accessorize accordingly. Luckily for the nervous set, there's been a mushrooming of businesses with all sorts of stuff to sell in the burgeoning scare market. For example, are you worried that the guy sitting next to you on your next flight might have SARS? No problem. Just hang a Mini-Mate around your neck and rest easy. It's an air purifier that supposedly kills airborne toxins. Only $145. And I'm sure it'll work as well as hanging a garlic clove around your neck to ward off vampires. Then there's the Evacuate, a plastic smoke hood that promises 15 minutes of protection. No word as to whether you attach it to your head with duct tape. And if that fails, just whip out your Evacu-Shoot, break a window, and leap into the dark night shouting, Geronimo! But if you're really hip to fright, you'll spring for the Tote and Go 72-Hour Survival Kit, which prepares you for, well, whatever. It's got purified water pouches, food rations, sanitation bag, poncho, flashlight, blanket, whistle, hand warmer, radio, and so much more. This is Jim Hightower saying, Franklin Roosevelt calmed a nation by saying, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. George W.'s twist is to say, we have nothing to fear if everyone buys enough fear gear. Maybe it's part of his economic stimulus plan. But if you buy all this stuff, you'll need a mule to haul it.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Show, Uncommon Sense from the radical middle. And I love being radical. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman, who apparently right this very second is just giving the Heritage Foundation hell. Go, Tom! We're not going to sit around and be a bunch of wimpy little lapdogs anymore, are we? No, we're going to stand up for the truth. On the phone with me is Mr. Danny Schechter, the media dissector with MediaChannel.org. He's also a founder and vice president, executive producer of Global Vision, and an author. So, Danny, if you would real quick, Embedded Weapons of Mass Deception, you know, I'll give you a chance to promo it and let us a little bit of what you talk about.
All right. Well, right now we're beginning to find out in the mainstream media what the mainstream media wasn't telling us about what was happening in Iraq.
That would be
phony weapons of mass destruction and all the rest of it. And, you know, the media basically organized support for this war, made it seem urgent and important and necessary to many, many people. In fact, many Americans have misperceptions of what happened there based on inferences in the media. What I do is I look at the coverage every single day. I reported what was being reported in other countries that we weren't seeing in America. And attempted to offer an analysis of how media operates, how big media and big government got into bed together, were embedded with each other. The book itself is available in two forms. One, it's online, so you can actually download it from MediaChannel.org. It's a 250-page original book, and I've tried to write it in an interesting and different way. So. You can get it through MediaChannel.org. Alternatively, you can wait a few weeks, and the real book will be coming out from Prometheus Books, and will be in stores, and will be available in that format.
If somebody wants to try to download it, you said that was from MediaChannel.org?
MediaChannel.org. And,
it's,
you know,
well, what format is that in? Is that a PDF?
It's called PDF. It's Acrobat,
okay.
You know.
Yep.
And, it, you know, it looks great. I mean, it's designed by a top designer. And basically, you know, we're selling it for $16, you know, as a way to try to raise some money for Media Channel. And you, and then you go to a website, you, and you just download it. It comes down as a file on your computer. You can print it or read it online, which or, whatever
great.
Is your preference.
Yeah.
But once you have read it, you will not forget it. That's my only promise.
Well, okay, I'll have to go check it out. I, you know, oftentimes I'm a very connected person digitally wise here, Danny.
Yeah.
You know, I've had computers for years. I've done programming. I've built the stupid things. I've,
uh-huh.
You know, but there's a lot of people, and sometimes it's hard for me to grasp because of my close, intimate connection with these stupid computers, that there's still a lot of people out there who aren't really into and going out on the internet or don't have a computer, et cetera.
Look, it's all true. My dad is 85, lives in Boston, just got online himself, okay?
Yeah.
So I know if he could do it, and he was, like, really cranky about it, anybody can if they're interested. Obviously, it's like garbage in, garbage out. If you know what you're looking for and you are interested, you're going to find a tremendous world of information that's not filtered the way our news is filtered. That's why I think
right.
it's important. On the other hand, it's not a panacea. There's a lot of, you know, websites with unverified, speculative, you know, kind of gossip and the like, which really is not very reliable. You know, so again, it's what you bring to the search for what you're searching for. And,
yeah.
You know, it's a tool for living today in the modern world. You can't really not be connected. On the other hand, you can also... One of the problems with it, with the internet, is like it's a one-on-one communication. Like you and I are talking one-to-one. But if it's
yeah.
me just talking to a screen, it can be very isolating, you know, as well. So the goal here is try to get people using computers, but not sort of being totally mesmerized by them, and you know, in a sense, marrying them. What we need is to get involved with each other.
Okay, and talk to human beings. Well, Danny, I want to thank you very much for your time. And you have a great, beautiful day out there, I know.
Anytime, and give my best to Tom, and enjoy the fall in Vermont.
You bet. It's going to be a great one, sir. Okay, Rama Schneider for Tom Hartman. We'll be back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A world running short on fresh water could become an increasingly dangerous place. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. No modern nations have gone to war solely over water, but scarce supplies have been the source of plenty of conflict, according to Peter Glick, president of the Pacific Institute in Oakland, California.
We're seeing, and we have seen for many, many years, violence over allocations of water, over water scarcity. And my concern is that we're going to see an increasing risk of violence, not necessarily wars, but violence over water resources.
Glick is the author of a biennial report on the world's water. He says the most troubling hotspot is the Middle East, with tension growing over the Jordan and the Tigris and Euphrates rivers.
The Tigris and Euphrates especially is of concern now. In part because it's shared by Turkey and Syria and Iraq, but also in part because water is very scarce, and Turkey, the upstream nation, is building a series of projects that are going to cut and are already cutting flows to the downstream nations of Syria and Iraq.
Glick says that could mean more trouble in the region. He says some Middle Eastern countries have made progress on cooperation, but most have not.
There is a peace treaty between Israel and Jordan that provides a framework for reducing the risks of conflicts over the Jordan River. But the other nations, Syria and Lebanon and the Palestinians in the West Bank, are not parties to that treaty yet either. And there's never been a treaty over the Tigris and the Euphrates. And I'm quite worried about the risk of tensions over allocations of those rivers.
Glick says Africa's Nile River is another potential trouble spot. Sudan and Egypt signed a treaty over the Nile in 1959, but eight other nations that share the river have no such agreements. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Show, helping you win the water cooler wars. Tom is off. He's absent with official leave, giving the Heritage Foundation hell. I'm Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom today. Tom will, I assume, be back Monday, unless they really got so pissed off at him at the Heritage Foundation. They're going to stuff him in a closet and say, he's a dangerous man. You know, yeah, that was kind of interesting, talking to Danny Schechter there. MediaChannel.org is an interesting website if you do web access. If you want to be on the program today, really easy to do. Just pick up your phone, dial 1-800-TALK-YES. That would be 1-800-825-5937. A lot of smart people sitting over in the chat room right now. You can get to that very easily, too, if you go to tomhartman.com. And right at the top of the page here, you'll find a link that says chat. And, you know, if you kind of do one of those clicky thingies on it, you'll go through this whole series of windows. And you'll be in the chat room and be able to type back and forth with these folks. And, yeah, that's a general rule. They come out with really good, intelligent comments. But they're like all of us. You know, I've been known to not. Right. You know, I guess I'm thinking about all this stuff with Bush and the weapons of, the missing weapons of mass destruction and the White House being embroiled in this leaking a covert CIA agent's name. And you have Limbaugh, of course, with his infamous ESPN remark. And now, by all news reports, he's caught up in a fairly large drug investigation down in Florida. And let me tell you, the number of pills that they're talking about thousands of pills that Limbaugh has purchased or had purchased for him. We're not talking about minor drug charges. It's not like being caught with an ounce or a couple joints in your pocket or something. And, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, he's admitted essentially that he did grope the women. We don't know how much he's actually admitted to. He did his so-called, I'm sorry, I got caught, in a very general way. And, of course, I read you those quotes about, you know, Hitler, he admired Hitler, and he's all for power because people need somebody to watch over them. And, my God, it's just beginning to look like the Republican-led federal administration is full of felonious covert agent exposers and liars. The radio mouth of the Republicans makes racist comments on national TV and, by all appearances, appears to be a druggie. And the Republican California governor wannabe, as far as I can tell, is a misogynist woman groper who loves Hitler-like authority. Now, I don't know about any of you, but that kind of gives me the willies when I go through that list. And you know what I really love, and this goes to some of what we were talking about with Mr. Schechter there as far as media coverage, is there are people sitting there, these talking heads and various people in the newspapers that are saying, oh, how wrong it was to bring out these allegations about Schwarzenegger groping all these women just a week before election. That's got nothing to do with the truth, does it? Who cares that what everybody's saying about Schwarzenegger is true? It's just low down, no good for nothing, dirty politics to bring the truth out and throw somebody's real personality into their face a week before the election. It's absolutely, it boggles my mind when I hear these pitiful, whining excuses for everything that has been going on, and the Republicans this and the Republicans that are getting caught at, and it's just unfair that we bring it out in public. How dare us point out that these people are a bunch of lying, little, miserable individuals. So, let's go to Betty in Santa Fe. Hello, Betty. Draw up a seat and what's on your mind?
Hi. You know, if you own the media, you know, that's why they take over the radio stations and television stations when they go into a country and subdue it. But
right.
I don't think you should call them the missing weapons of mass destruction. I think you should call them the mythical weapons of mass destruction. Mythical. Okay.
Well,
the thing is, does anybody have a good place to move? I'm tired of this country and people who would elect a Schwarzenegger. I'm tired of people who can't tell the difference between Fox's propaganda and the real thing. I'm tired of losing tens of millions of jobs and giving them tax cuts for sending them overseas. So anyway, yeah. I just, you know, agree with what you say, but anybody think of a good country to go to?
Well,
I'll listen.
Okay, thank you, Betty. Thank you very much for your call. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And you know, Betty, what you voice there, your dissatisfaction, and you're like, God, I want to move to another country. I have run across some of the strangest people that I never imagined would voice that same sentiment. I know very quite well a gentleman from a veteran from the Korean War era wants to move to Canada and seriously will consider it if Bush gets reelected. And this guy, look, this is a person who I almost came to physical blows over talking politics. There was a stretch in our relationship where we agreed we would never talk politics because this individual and I literally almost came to blows. Yet he jumps up and God, he makes me look like I love George Bush. And this is a grizzled vet, you know. And talking about leaving the country, I've also read articles where people are talking about moving to Mexico and stuff. So it boggles the mind. And I guess we're going to stay in Santa Fe here, okay? Michael from Santa Fe, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Thanks. I'd like to respond to the last caller and all these people talking about moving to another country.
You do that.
Me, I am not letting a bunch of right-wing nut, wacko, you know, corporate, you know, nut buckets run me out of this country. I'm staying here and fighting till the last dog is dead. Now, all
you
these
go,
people,
Michael.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go. I was just rooting you on because I'm behind you 100%.
Right. I don't know what the hell is wrong. I mean, out of respect for the last caller, hey, you know what? You need to
okay, don't get personal now.
you know, just wake up and realize, okay, that this talk about moving to Canada is idiocy. That's abandoning your. I'm not abandoning anybody's fight. If this country turns into a right wing dictatorship, you know, fine. I'm going to stay and fight the armed insurrection if that's what it takes. But I ain't letting these guys run out of the country. Go ahead.
Okay, let me jump in real quick, and then I'm going to let you go because we have another caller on the air.
Right.
I'm behind you 100%, and that's my feeling. I mean, I'm like a horse. A horse, the harder you push against the horse, the more they'll lean into you. And I love a fight. I love a good scrap. I grew up in a loud, big family. So to me, this is great fun. And but can you, Michael, are you still there? No, I guess he's not. But I just wonder if people just to have some understanding and empathy to understand folks' fear and their frustration, because this is what we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. So let's move on to Brian in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Brian.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on, you know, Betty's call. Dissent, you know, is one thing. It's encouraged, I believe. I think it's important. But... you know, treasonous comments such as "I'm moving to another country" or "giving up my country," that's just not what this country is about at all. As a matter of fact, we're about exactly the opposite. You know, like the last caller, stand and fight.
Right.
And I just think it's unfortunate that you know, Betty needs to make these comments and that she feels that way. I understand how she's feeling. But running our country down just in the premise of saying I'm moving to another country, well, I think that borders on treason
and perhaps it's not greener
on the other side.
Okay, hold on for a second here. Don't hang up on me, Brian, because I want to ask you the question that I would have liked to ask Michael. Can you at least understand why people would feel so frustrated? I'm not saying to agree with her conclusion, but understand her frustrations and the fears that Betty has as far as the direction of the country.
Yes, I did, and I actually acknowledge that. I understand how she's feeling the way she is and why she's feeling that way. I don't share the feelings 100%, but I understand them, and I share some of them. But, yeah, the conclusion is I believe, is treasonous. And I think it's short-sighted as well, because I believe that if she were to leave, it is a one person left to fight the fight.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I had to say. It breaks my heart to hear people talk like that. I understand why she's talking like that, but don't give up and stand behind your country. God bless America.
Okay, well, thank you for your input, Brian. And Betty, I guess you're back on the phone. Hello, Betty.
No, I don't like being called treasonous. I fought in civil rights. I was beaten up in Mississippi. I was beaten up in the war movement in Los Angeles. I remember being hit with a stick. I worked in the women's rights movement till 2 o'clock in the morning lots of times. I'm sick and tired of people, this younger generation, not fighting. And you're right. I'm ready to throw in the towel. And it's not treason. It's disgust with some of these younger people who are saying, you know, stand and fight. I've fought for four generations.
Yeah. Okay, Betty, let me ask you then the question that I asked Brian. Can you at least understand what Brian is saying by he's as frustrated with you that you might walk out on him as you are feeling frustrated with the government? Do you understand that everybody's getting the frustrations here? Oh, Betty hung up. What 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. You know, this is part of what we're being hounded into, and that for some reason that if we're going to get politically recognized, it won't be here in the United States. And Betty, I understand your, and as a matter of fact, from what you're describing there is I admire what you've done, because you're right. Very few of us have been willing to sit somewhere and get our heads beat upon by some billy club or get maced or fire hosed, because those things genuinely hurt, and being arrested does go a long way towards when you get arrested, it interferes with your day-to-day life. So but what I hear from everybody, you know, both sides there, is it's a frustration level. So, you know, maybe if we find, and this is why I came out with that quote from Mr. McNabb, the quarterback from the Philadelphia Eagles, where he talked about somebody should have spoken up in that control room when Limbaugh made those dumb comments that he made. somebody, even a cameraman. Even a cameraman, McNabb said. This is somebody who, no, the camera people don't speak up on these shows. The talking heads speak up. But the idea that, you know, rather than get this frustration, rather than get this frustration and take it out in some way which might not be positive, you know, that we all have it and we all have a responsibility to speak up and improve the world around us. And we'll all find different ways to do it. I guarantee you my ways of improving it are different from other people's. I'm a very combative individual, and I'm the type of person. I had somebody else carrying a sign against the war in Iraq the first time around, and some big old bruiser came up and said, well, if you like Iraq so much, why don't you move there? And my immediate reaction, I just turned around with fire in my eyes, and I was thumping him on the chest with my finger and saying, look, boy, you love Kuwait so much, why don't you move there? And he backed up, you know. But this is the thing, is this idea that we sometimes we do need to stand and fight. And, you know, look, soldiers are allowed to retire and to relax and feel some peace. And maybe Betty's been a soldier in the fight for equal rights, and she's been in a fight for other people's rights. And, you know, and maybe we can let Betty take her break. And if Betty is afraid, or Betty is frustrated, or Betty is just sick and tired of stuff and wants to go somewhere where she can relax, maybe Betty's earned it. In the meantime, I know there's Michael. There's Brian, and I know there's me, and I know there's a whole bunch of people in the chat room that would stand and fight because we're not beaten down and we're not tired. So we have it in us to fight. And I know when I look at my daughter, and this is the truth. You know, I look at my daughter and I say, there is no way that I'm not going to do everything I can to give her freedom and to give her a country with a political system which she's going to be able to use for both societies and her positive future. I'm not going to walk away from it. It's partly because I love a fight. When I say I grew up in a loud fight and a loud, boisterous family, I did. Susan in Santa Cruz, come on in and have a seat, and what's on your mind? And before we get going too far, Susan, if we get broken off because I have to go to the commercial break real soon here, if you'll just hang on afterwards, we'll get back to you, okay?
Okay. Hi.
Okay, so why don't you start off then?
I just was really disheartened when I heard that fellow use the word treason.
Right.
Because treason may be, you know, there are dictionary definitions of it, and it may be a violation of allegiance towards one's sovereign or country, but it is, as it says in the dictionary, especially the betrayal of one's own country by waging war against it or by consciously and purposely acting to aid its enemies.
Okay.
And a betrayal of trust. And I think that, I forgot her name, Betsy, was it?
It was Betty.
Betty. Her giving up, in a sense, it's not treason. Treason is one of those words that the other side likes to use a lot, you know,
yeah.
Like Clinton was treasonous, you know, by getting with Monica. I don't know. Anyway.
Okay, do you want to hold on till after the commercial break? Okay, thank you very much, Susan. And when we come back, we'll be back with Susan in Santa Cruz, California. I'm Rama Schneider, sitting in for Tom Hartman, who was given the Heritage Foundation hell this morning. We'll be right back after this.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Does Burger King have a new fire-grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no.
Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette. All with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
Have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on!
We are going to do Rumsfeld now. You know, I talk about doing acid 30 years ago. Rumsfeld must do it daily. Right before he goes out for a press conference, Rummy comes out all acid-headed up and, you know, just stoned on his ass, just completely freaked out.
Oh, hi. I noticed the doorknobs are all crawling around the ceiling. Hello. Ask me nothing. Get these spiders off of me. People are waving things at me. There's stuff jumping out of doors. Ew, Jesus. You know, the fire hose on the wall there, it just rose up like a snake. And you're asking me questions like, I don't know this stuff.
This is the Secretary of Defense, Truth Seeker. It's insane. Do you understand? These people are crazy.
So crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
All right, let's dispense with that bumper music here. Rahm Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman, who was given the Heritage Foundation. Hell, you'll hear all about it, I'll bet, from him on Monday, assuming that they haven't gotten very worried that too much of the truth is going to come out through the Tom Hartman Show. And they, you know, maybe they locked him up in a closet somewhere. Susan in Santa Cruz, California, are you still with us?
Yes, I am. Somebody's trying to buzz into my line, but I'm not going to answer it. So if it won't bother you, maybe they'll
it's
go
John
away.
Ashcroft.
Yeah, right. He's seeking me out. No, what I was going to say, well, I'm not so sure of what I'm going to say, but I said it was disheartening. And
right.
What was his name? Was it Bruce or something?
Well, there was Brian and Michael. Brian, I think, was the harsher of the two.
Yeah,
but
right.
Brian,
well, these guys are young, and they don't know what it was like for people like Betty and myself, I guess. I didn't get my head bashed in. I was on the first Civil Rights March and the first Peace March in Washington. And in those days, people really, really were working hard to create a better world. And it's very difficult now, you know, 40 years later, looking back. We thought by now we were going to have a wonderland, a paradise, you know. By the year 2000, you were sure you were going to have a new world, right? Well, it isn't that way, and it's a really sad commentary. And in just a very short time, the Bush administration has taken apart not only the gains that we made then, but so much of what this country had taken 200 years to put in place, you know.
No.
So I can understand her disappointment, and it's deeper than that, and I understand it. And what I'm asking for, I guess, is that we remain in a place of a loving heart towards one another, of support towards one another, even of support towards the Bushes, even though, you know, we know what they're doing is incredibly wrong. But when you get into a position of against, and you want to fight this and fight that, what comes out of that is just more fighting. It's just the same as, you know, we go to war in another country, and we don't need that here.
Okay, Susan, I got to let you go. We're coming up to our top of the hour break. Thank you very much for your call. We genuinely appreciate it. And, I think, you know, we got a dressing down from two folks that have been around and been in the front lines of these fights for equality over many years in some very dangerous ways. And I think those of us who think that it's bad to run, we deserve that dressing down. And it's just something we should all keep in mind. Coming up at the top of the hour of the news, then it'll be back for another hour of the Tom Hartman Show. I'm Rama Schneider.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. After searching for nearly 6 months, U.S. forces and CIA experts have found no chemical or biological weapons in Iraq and have determined that Iraq's nuclear program was in only the very most rudimentary state, the Bush administration's chief investigator formally told Congress yesterday. Before the war, the administration said Iraq had a well-developed nuclear program that presented a threat to the United States. Now, it clearly does not look like a massive resurgent program based on what we discovered. Former UN weapons inspector David Kaye, who heads the government search, said yesterday after briefing House and Senate intelligence committees in a closed session on his interim report. The investigation into the leak of a CIA officer's name is likely to expand to other Bush administration agencies, including the State and Defense Departments, officials said Thursday. A senior Justice Department official, speaking on condition of anonymity, said that those agencies and possibly others could get letters urging officials to preserve documents such as phone logs and not to delete emails. Similar letters have already gone to the White House and CIA. The public's confidence in President Bush's ability to deal wisely with an international crisis has slid sharply over the past 5 months, a New York Times CBS News poll has found. 45% of Americans now have confidence in Mr. Bush's ability to deal wisely with an international crisis, down from 66% in April, and half now say they are uneasy about his approach. Just 40% of voters expressed confidence in Mr. Bush's ability to make the right decisions about the economy, down from half in April, while 56% said they were uneasy, up from 42% in April. Democrat Bob Graham reportedly told a Senate colleague Thursday that he would abandon his struggling presidential bid, but aides said he will continue to campaign. The Florida senator's future in the crowded Democratic field remained in doubt as the campaign made several staff changes. More after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK. 1-800-NAT-PARK. There's just too much to lose.
1 in 10 Britons believe the Mona Lisa was painted by Vincent van Gogh, according to a survey published on Thursday. Over two-fifths of those polled admitted they'd never visited any of Britain's art galleries. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire-Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Time for another visit into the far, far, far out frontier of free enterprise. Today, Spaceship Hightower takes you to the cutting edge of avant-garde consumerism, where you're simply not with it unless your wardrobe accessories include the Air Supply Mini-Mate, the Evacuate Smoke Hood, and the Evacu-Chute Parachute. Survivalist chic has arrived. In these days of code orange alerts, outbreaks of SARS, anthrax scares, the possibility of exploding tennis shoes on your airplane, and goodness knows what other hobgoblins might pop up, well, one simply has to accessorize accordingly. Luckily for the nervous set, there's been a mushrooming of businesses with all sorts of stuff to sell in the burgeoning scare market. For example, are you worried that the guy sitting next to you on your next flight might have SARS? No problem. Just hang a Mini-Mate around your neck and rest easy. It's an air purifier that supposedly kills airborne toxins. Only $145. And I'm sure it'll work as well as hanging a garlic clove around your neck to ward off vampires. Then there's the Evacuate, a plastic smoke hood that promises 15 minutes of protection. No word as to whether you attach it to your head with duct tape. And if that fails, just whip out your Evacu-Chute, break a window, and leap into the dark night shouting, Geronimo! But if you're really hip to fright, you'll spring for the Tote and Go 72-Hour Survival Kit, which prepares you for, well, whatever. It's got purified water pouches, food rations, sanitation bag, poncho, flashlight, blanket, whistle, hand warmer, radio, and so much more. This is Jim Hightower saying, Franklin Roosevelt calmed a nation by saying, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. George W.'s twist is to say, we have nothing to fear if everyone buys enough fear gear. Maybe it's part of his economic stimulus plan. But if you buy all this stuff, you'll need a mule to haul it.
Yes, she is. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded. This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
Well, no, this is not Tom. All right. No. We go for honesty and broadcasting here on the Tom Hartman Radio Show. I'm Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom, who is absent with official leave and high up in the Green Mountains of the People's Republic of Vermont. And actually, it's Green Mountains getting quite colorful out there. And I don't know where. I guess we're still looking to see if we get Mr. Matthew Rothschild on the phone. So far, it's actually things have been going pretty well according to schedule, which is amazing for a three-hour radio broadcast and says tons for the fantastic capabilities and abilities of all the folks with IE America Radio Network. And believe me, I'm not going to take any credit for things that run smoothly around here, because I'm sitting here with a pile of odds and ends pieces of paper, and I've got a brain that's just going a mile a second here, just trying to think of cute little things to say. But I guess the one that gets me, though, I mean, what is it? What is it about people in California? I'm sorry. Now, I know not everybody's going to vote for Arnold, and it just may be that, you know, once people are exposed enough times to the reality of Mr. Schwarzenegger's, let's call it a personality for lack of any other or any better word. But, you know, it just may be, though, once he's once these Californians are exposed to what Mr. Schwarzenegger's really about, maybe they'll just say, well, you know, this isn't such a hot idea, this recall, after all. I don't know. Okay, I guess we have Mr. Matthew Rothschild on the phone with us. Hello, Mr. Rothschild.
Afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And what should I call you? Your Highness, Your Honor, Matthew, Mr. Rothschild, what?
Matthew's fine. Matt is fine.
Okay, we'll stick with Matt. The fewer syllables, the better for me.
I hear you.
You're the editor of the Progressive magazine, and beyond that, I'm going to let you describe yourself and justify your existence to the listeners.
Well, the only other way to justify myself is to say that I'm a husband and father, but as far as the Progressive goes, I've worked here almost 20 years.
Wow.
I'm the editor now. The Progressive was founded back in 1909 by Fighting Bob La Follette, the pioneer of the Progressive movement. And so we're extending and keeping alive some of those ideas that people fought for 100 years ago, and we still think they're relevant today, like corporate power, control of the media, interventions overseas. You know, some of these issues are right here with us.
Boy, you know, I wish I had thought about this one beforehand. I have a direct phone line to the original Mother Jones, the one who is long since dead and was once called the most dangerous woman in history. And would have been fun to have her come on with you, because the Progressive started back in the days when she was kind of at the height of raising hell with the establishment.
Yeah, a great union organizer. And you know who reminds me of her today in contemporary America? It's Jim Hightower, the Texas populist. Because like Mother Jones, he goes from town to town. Actually, he was in Madison a couple of weeks ago, walking picket lines, talking to communities, rousing people, telling them it's our democracy and we need to take it back. And that's just what people like Mother Jones used to do.
A round of applause. There you go. We're talking to Matthew Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine. And if you want to join in, you have questions or comments here, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. We also have a chat room that if folks are on the Internet, they want to drop in on. I just, when they get bored in the chat room, the level of discourse there kind of goes downhill. But beyond that, they're a wonderful bunch of very intelligent people. And just go to TomHartmann.com and click on chat and you'll be there. Anyway, back to Matt. Now, it says here. Now, I don't know if you're aware of the damage that they send us on these emails to let us know that you're going to be on the air. It says here, he, meaning you, Matt, can also speak to the Iraq war, U.S. foreign policy, Pentagon policy, U.S. economy, civil liberties, the media, the budget, inequality, and more. And I was just wondering what we'll do after the first 2 minutes.
Well, you know what they say about us journalists. We're a mile wide and an inch deep. I'd like to be maybe 2 inches or 3 inches deep. But, you know, we can talk about anything. You know, the thing that is really concerning me now is this scandal, this Bush scandal, with outing the CIA officer. I mean, how outrageous is that? And if it happened in a Democratic administration, imagine if Clinton had done that, the right wing would be going crazy. But right now they're trying to say, oh, it's just politics, you know.
It's nothing. It's nothing. And Rush making those racist comments on national television are nothing. And the Schwarzenegger groping women and saying he likes Hitler and loves authority. Oh, it's nothing. How dare you people bring up. Talk to me. Actually, that's a good starting point here for me, Matt. And I don't mean to jerk you around intellectually too much. It's the way my brain functions. Like you say, during the Clinton, anything, I mean, if anybody in the Clinton administration dropped a chewing gum wrapper on the street accidentally, they were pounded endlessly by special investigators, by the press, by right-wing radio and everybody. Why is it now? What's so different about the people watching the news that... I mean, if you look at the charges against Schwarzenegger, there seem to be some very illegal occurrences here where he tries to undress women, where he actively grabs their breasts in areas. The description that he gives in the We interview sounds suspiciously like rape to me, where he talks about how him and a bunch of other guys jumped on this black girl and we took her upstairs. You know, it's like, why? There is no way that if that came out about Davis, it wouldn't be smeared all over. Now we're being called a bunch of smear artists for trying to bring this information to light. What is it that's changed?
Well, it's just who's got power, you know, or who's vying for power. If the Republicans and the right, they think they've got power, then then anyone who criticizes them is off the wall. But, you know, if the Democrats or liberals have power, why, they can pick up any dirt, any stone, any rock and throw it at them, whether it's fair or not, and say, hey, this is just part of the game. The hypocrisy is just almost unbelievable. And this White House scandal, I mean, leaving aside Schwarzenegger and all the problems that he's in right now, the White House thing, you know, President Bush the first said that anyone who disclosed a CIA agent's name should be tried with treason. You know, so what he's going to try his son for treason, or he's going to try Cheney,
please,
or he's going to try Rove? I mean,
all the
what
above.
If they were involved?
All of the above. Okay, Matt, we got a Pete from Tampa, Florida on the lines with us. Well, let's let Pete jump in here. Hi, Pete, take a seat and tell us what's on your mind, brother.
Hey, we'll cover two or three things real fast. Arnold
real
Schwarzenegger.
Fast.
Hey, remember Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell, and Ralph Reed were on every cable station possibly. What will the children say about Bill Clinton?
Yeah.
Is anybody from the supposed liberal media have these guys in to make them be accountable for their man? No.
Okay, no. Kid, talk real quick because I want to give our expert guest a chance to comment on what you say.
Let's talk the war on drugs. Rich white guy who makes $32 million a year. They got tapes on him. They had a wire on him. What happens? The Inquirer is sitting on a story for 2 years. Supposedly there's an investigation. Roy Black is now, the same guy who got Kennedy off with the Blue Dot case, is now going to represent Rush Limbaugh. Now, doesn't Rush know that he'd feel so home? There's no liberal policies in the Florida prison system. None at all. Most of the guards are ditto heads.
And, well, he just might find out. And what's number three there for you?
Well, I'll let you guys cover one or two if I could hold on.
Okay, go ahead then, Matt. And what about? I mean, because you, I know Matt, you sound like you really want to talk about the White House and exposing the CIA.
I can talk about Schwarzenegger. But, I mean, I think the caller is that Pete's correct. You know, well, you know, where's William Bennett right now on Schwarzenegger? You remember William?
He's gambling.
Bennett. You know, the star of virtue who happened to have a little bit of a gambling habit to the tune of $6 million or something ridiculous. Yeah. But anyway, during the Clinton scandal, you know, there he was, Mr. Blue Nose. How terrible it was for Bill Clinton to have a consensual relationship with Monica Lewinsky. And here's Schwarzenegger, who was pawing and grabbing by his own admission. And, you know, I don't hear people screaming on the right about that.
Well, yeah. Placidus Roy on our chat room is types, naturally, Rush should be on the air. Drug abusers need a spokesman. Well, he could be correct on that. So what do you got to say, Pete? And then I'm going to have to let you go.
What I'm getting at, just how the media will turn on a pro professional athlete with drug problems, rip them apart. How the media turned on the Clinton administration with all the independent counsels. The medium itself is the one that runs the show. It took them 2 months to talk about the spy case, which I heard on Democracy Now 2 weeks after it happened.
Right.
We're talking that the media, I think the media basically is trying to save George Bush's butt. I mean, they should be asking follow-up question after and demanding a press conference for him to basically tell the press corps, you know, what he's done to find this leaker. And he's absolutely done nothing. And like I said, it's like a house of cards. And take a look how Bush is treated, how Clinton was treated. But like I said, the most important thing in an underreported story is going to be, look at the drug war. I guarantee you if that was a black kid now, he'd be sitting in Dade County.
Thank you, brother. Thank you very much. Everything you say is so true, but I also have Ken in Fort Wood, Texas, is it? So, Pete, I'm going to let you go, and thank you very much for your input. That was excellent. And before we get to Ken here, I want to ask you, Matt, are you going to have to hang up real quick? Are you going to be able to hang around for a little bit longer?
No, we can run for a little while.
Because obviously you're generating some interest here. So let's go to Ken in Fort Wood, Texas. Hello, Ken.
With an H. Hello.
Oh, that's Fort Worth? What?
No, Fort Hood. H-O-O-D.
Oh, Fort Hood. Okay. They got
it's
a title
in
this. Yes. Okay, Ken, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to talk about the Arnold situation here a little bit. I was reading some polls, poll numbers that just came out. Arnold has actually risen in the polls in the last day after this story broke about the about him admiring Hitler and all that stuff.
You're kidding.
It's just phenomenal. I can't believe it.
That's ungodly.
It's just frustrating.
Ken, what polls have you been looking at there?
That was actually I don't remember online, I was looking at one of the blogs online, and it was just saying that his numbers have actually gone up
why doesn't that surprise me?
And I don't have a reference on what exact poll it was, but I think it was like 2 points since the story broke.
Okay, Ken, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. That's disgusting. Matt, what do you got to say for that?
I'd be surprised if those numbers stay the way they've been reported there by Ken, because this Hitler thing really broke last night and this morning. A lot of people weren't really hearing about it till maybe they got to work in the morning or turned on the Today Show. I think this is going to drag Schwarzenegger down. The question is it going to drag him down so far that he loses?
Yeah. Okay, Matt, we're coming up on a hard commercial break here, so if I can get you to stick around for a few minutes, and then we also have a Kim in Cincinnati who I guess wants to have a word too. So if you don't mind sticking around, I'd love to have you.
You know, I actually used to take Tylenol, but not anymore, because now I get relief 15 minutes faster on tough pain with Advil Liquid Gels. Advil Liquid Gels actually rush relief 15 minutes faster. Now, how great does that sound? Imagine 15 wonderful, precious minutes faster. Now, why would I ever use anything else for pain relief? Advil Liquid Gels, 15 minutes faster.
get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts. Because whether it's brakes, a battery, or even a new set of wiper blades, you'll find what you need at Napa. This is the good stuff. While you're there, pick up a Napa camouflage hat for only $3.99. So come to Napa and get whatever you need for your car and pick up your special edition camouflage hat today.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. I'm not Tom Hartman. I am Rama Schneider. Tom is AWOL with official leave. Went down to give a bunch of the conservative wackos at the Heritage Foundation hell. You are here where we dare to ask, what the hell is going on around here anyway? And on the phone with us, we have Mr. Matthew Rothschild, who is the editor of the Progressive magazine. And Matt, we have Kim on the line, but I want to give you a chance first here. Well, take a minute and kind of, you know, you've heard what the people have been saying. It's like this disbelief. Nobody really wants to talk about exposing CIA agents now. It's just this disbelief that somebody like Schwarzenegger can just cruise right on by these allegations. Well, they're not even allegations. He's admitted to it, for the most part, to groping the women.
Yeah, he admitted to that, and he didn't really flat out deny his comments about Hitler. I mean, he said he couldn't remember making them. I mean, that to me suggested maybe there's something there. Plus, evidently there was a film and a transcript of it, so that there must be evidence lying around that he might, in fact, actually have said it. And I just can't for the life of me believe that this isn't going to take a big hit on him, because over the weekend, as Californians consider who to vote for, man, if there was someone running here in Wisconsin where I'm at who thought Hitler was someone to admire, that certainly would give me pause going into the voting booth. And I think it's going to hurt him. I think both scandals are going to hurt him among women, and certainly among Jewish Americans and other people who are Democrats. And California is a big Democrat liberal state, so I got to think this is going to hit him right in the kneecaps.
All right, well, let's go to Kim in Cincinnati, Ohio, and find out what Kim thinks.
Yeah, two comments I want to make. Number one, about Rush Limbaugh and his popping his pills. I think this is a big damage for Rush. The thing he has to worry about is not about him taking the pills.
Right.
But one of the reports said that he had ordered over 4,000 pills in 47 days. That's 100, a little less than 100 pills a day.
That's
he
a felony.
Dealing.
Yeah.
He wasn't just taking, and he was dealing. And if they catch him and they can prove that he was dealing, that is where he's going to go to jail.
Okay, yeah. You got anything for Mr. Rothschild here? Because I'm going to have to let you go, because I got to let him go.
You give me your reading on this. See, I don't really, and I'm Jewish, and I don't hold anything against him for writing his statement about him admiring Adolf Hitler for one reason only.
Right.
He grew up in a Nazi family. His father was a Nazi. And the thing is, he grew up with people, you know, making good comments about Adolf Hitler. And so all he did when he made this comment in 1975, he was really reiterating what he grew up with.
Okay. Thank you very much, Kim. I'm going to let you go. And Matt, what do you got to say about that?
Well, let me speak to that, because one of the good things that's happened in Germany over the last 50 years is that country and most of the people in that country have come to grips with the horrors of Nazism and Hitler. And there's been a huge amount of self-reflection, self-recrimination, guilt, and expiation of that guilt among Germans. And they for the most part, are just horrified about what they allowed to happen there. And for Schwarzenegger, an Austrian whose father was indeed a Nazi, to be toying with admiration for Hitler, you know, in 1975 or whenever it was that he said it, suggests to me that he really hasn't matured in the way most people in Germany have on this. Plus, Kurt Waldheim, who was a Nazi and who was head of the UN for a while, he came to Schwarzenegger's wedding. I mean, this guy has a peculiar fascination with Nazism. I think we've got to recognize that and come to grips with that.
Well, let me bring it up to date. Well, not right up to the 2000, but in 1990, in a profile in the U.S. News in November of 1990, Schwarzenegger is quoted, quote, "My relationship to power and authority is that I'm all for it. People need somebody to watch over them," he explained. 95% of the people in the world need to be told what to do and how to behave.
He does. So he has a little bit of a Führer complex, doesn't he? I mean, he wanted to, according to the New York Times today, be a politician like a Kennedy, who was adored by fans, or, he put it, Hitler at Nuremberg, where this is not the Nuremberg trial. This is Nuremberg, the stadium full of adoring, saluting Germans. I mean, this is a creepy kind of thing.
Okay, Matt, I'm going to let you go, and thank you so much for calling in. And Cameron, Alabama, if you'll hang on, we'll get to you after the break. Rama Schneider in for Tom Hartman.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Thank you. For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. A close call for the Immigrant Workers' Freedom Ride. Two buses with the Immigrant Rights Caravan were detained by Texas Border Patrol agents outside Santa Fe last Friday. Riders refused to show identification to the agents and were released following a flurry of phone calls to the Texas Border Patrol. Organizer Claudia Medina of Albuquerque, New Mexico, says she hopes the ride will help reunite immigrant workers with family members they haven't seen in years.
Most immigrant families take around 10 to 15 years to get a petition through INS approved.
Caravans originating from 10 cities began the Freedom Ride just over a week ago. They'll converge in Washington, D.C. later this week to call for greater labor and citizenship rights for immigrants.
The resignation of New York Stock Exchange Chairman Dick Grasso for negotiating a compensation package worth nearly $200 million was originally seen as a step in the right direction toward cleaning out the overzealous greed in the stock market. But new details have surfaced that suggest Grasso's departure was more along the lines of a golden parachute. According to his contract with the NYSE, Grasso could still receive about $57 million on his way out the door. He's already pledged to forego $48 million of that, but that pledge was never formalized in writing. Even so, it would still leave Grasso eligible to collect $9.7 million.
No contract for food service and maintenance workers at the University of Miami of Ohio. 860 members of Ask Me Local 209 want a wage increase. Fewer than half of them earn more than $10 an hour. The workers went out on strike last Friday, and on Saturday they set up picket lines outside a football game against rival Cincinnati. No new talks are scheduled.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. I'm Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom, who is off doing his good work, upsetting the Heritage Foundation. Tom, of course, being absent with official leave. This is, of course, the vast radical middle conspiracy we got going on here. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And do we still have Camera in Alabama waiting? Hello, Camera.
Hello. Hi there.
Hi. How are
Tamara,
you?
Tamara, with a T.
Okay. Misspelled. Tamara.
Yes, Tamara.
Okay. I apologize.
Oh, that's okay. I'm calling with a sense of frustration. I've been liberal in Alabama, so that would obviously be what I am, a frustrated person.
Okay.
It seems to me that my fellow liberals seem to focus so much on these stories that aren't stories. So Rush Limbaugh is a racist. Oh, God, I'm so shocked. You know, let's just talk about it and talk about it. Or Schwarzenegger, he might be a Nazi and he gropes women. Oh, I'm so surprised. I just can't believe it. Meanwhile,
right.
I'm living in a mill town where people have had their jobs slowly just taken away and sent overseas, people who are just left. And the only group that I see reaching out to these people is the Christian Coalition. They
right.
think that since they've lost their jobs and they're poor and they don't have any retirement because they never unionized to start with because they were wanting to support the good meal that was, made their city what it was for the last 50 years,
Right.
That you know, maybe God will help them now. If they're good and patriotic and if they go to church and vote, you know, pro-life, then maybe they'll see some purpose in their life. And I just, you know, I wish that I had caught Matt on the phone because, you know, I love Mother Jones and what she was. And it just seems to me there aren't any real people who are reaching out to this big, huge, vast group of Americans who are disenfranchised right now.
Well, what would it take for a politician, a non-Republican politician, to reach out to the folks in that area? What would somebody have to do or say?
Well, I think that I don't think it's as hard, you know, a Huey Long, which was a racist, obviously, but there are a George Wallace, these people who used to do it, and they had populist, average man slogans that they used, and then, of course, they always had that element of racism that was there to kind of to get a little, to sucker people in. But they had a message, though, that was for working people other than the racism. And I think that if someone could somehow attach to, you know, an average, everyday person that could speak to these people about where, you know, from where they're coming from, and I just don't see that in the Democratic Party right now. And it's so frustrating to me because, you know, you've got, I love our politicians. I loved Bill Clinton. I was frustrated with him over NAFTA. But you know, I just don't see that happening, and I'm I think that it's a problem. And if someone could ever reach out to the heartland and capture back those people that we actually should be representing, and manage to, the Republican Party right now seems to be speaking to their racism, to their the fact that they don't have anything, so they need to feel better than somebody. So they speak to their racism, or they speak to their religion, or speak to something besides their economic status. And right. I wish that somehow we could grab hold of that, you know?
So even like somebody like a Dennis Kucinich, who actively gets out there and talks about the free trade issues and the problems that it's brought upon the working people of America, the ones who honestly work for their day's wages, even somebody like a Kucinich wouldn't be able to go down there and raise a little hell and get support?
I wish that he could. He's the only one that stands for, you know, what I believe. But I'm afraid that he's he wouldn't be in touch with the people here because of, the, well, he's a Yankee, first of all.
Well, yeah, that'll do it. In Vermont, they reverse it. If you're from the South, they're prejudiced against you. Up here, you're called a flatlander if you come from out of state. It doesn't matter if you were born on the heights of Mount Everest, you know.
Well, I don't, you know, I believe in his message. I will vote for him, given the opportunity. And, I don't think his message has gotten out there at all. Unfortunately, it's gotten no play. But yet, somebody like Dean, who I don't really agree with a lot of the things that he says, and somehow, you know, because he's interesting and he's it's like he's a John McCain-ish type person who's grumpy and frumpish and, you know, somehow attracts attention. He's not speaking, you know, to the people that I see around me. But maybe it's a lost group, you know, but I don't think any group is lost, and it's a substantial group of Americans that could be reached given the right voice.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your input, Tamara, and I certainly appreciate it. And I hope you keep listening to Tom Hartman, because if anybody really has the depth of knowledge and has done the research and the traveling and really has a wonderful grasp of, I don't know about the direct social implications in your particular town, but somebody that certainly has a grasp of the general social inferences that come about from everybody losing jobs and certainly the economic issues involved. It's somebody like Tom Hartman. He's been out there and, he's been actively investigating it. I mean, you go to his website, you see a lot of these books. I kind of, going down the list here, and I'm looking back at the phone calls here. There was Betty in Santa Fe, Michael in Santa Fe, Brian, Mobile, Alabama, Susan, Santa Cruz, California, Pete from Tampa, Ken in Fort Worth, Kim in Cincinnati, Ohio, Tamara in Alabama. The one thing that seems to kind of pop out is a sense of frustration. And look, I'm not a psychoanalyst. If I was your psychoanalyst, you'd do better following the Rush Limbaugh theory and buying a bunch of drugs, you know. But I do know this much about frustration and anger. It's a first step towards making a genuine change in how we as individuals do some things. And if we hadn't gone off on so many wonderful, absolutely fantastic conversations here, I kind of had a theme set up for the day, and I want to go back to that, if I can find that piece of paper, that quote from the Philadelphia's quarterback. Gosh, I can't even remember his darn name now, but you know, where the one that was disparaged by good old Rush Boy there. The quarterback McNabb and comes out and he says that, look, somebody in that control room should have spoken up. Somebody, even if it was just one of the cameramen, and I'm paraphrasing McNabb right now, but even if it was one of the cameramen, you know, people whose business is not to speak up, the remark that Limbaugh made was so outrageous, so totally off the wall, and by the way, actually totally factually incorrect. By the way, so it was not only an outrageous comment, it was factually incorrect as you can get. But somebody, even a cameraman, should have spoken up and said something. And when I saw that quote, I did think, wow, this is a classy guy from what I see of him. I don't know him beyond those interviews, okay? But what really struck me once I looked at that quote and I reread it several times, and I understood why it was making that connection that made me reread it. Because it wasn't sitting there, McNabb wasn't saying, gee, some higher-up muckety-muckety ESPN should have come in and said something in the control room, or one of the talking heads should have been totally responsible. It was average people, the cameramen in a studio like that. You know, in other words, John and Jane Doe, Jane and John Doe, whichever order you want to put it, should have spoken up and said something because a wrong occurred. And it's not just good enough for us to wait for the uppity ups. So, you know, as I listen through all of this frustration, and I understand it. Believe me, I talk to people. I've talked to people in California. I can't find anybody who's voting for Schwarzenegger, but apparently somebody is. Even if it's just a bunch of Diebold machines. Somebody's voting for Schwarzenegger. Of course, it might just be the Diebold machines and no humans electing him, but who knows? But take this frustration, take this anger, and what I wanted to do was direct it and leave you folks at the end of the day going into the weekend with the sense that you have a power as a little person to go out and have these little bitty effects. Okay, and I'll get back to that in a moment here. We have Pablo from Santa Fe. Hello, Pablo.
Hello?
Hello, Pablo.
Yeah, I just wanted to say on the Donovan McNabb thing, when I heard about this on Tuesday, I went up and got ESPN's number in Connecticut and called up, and they weren't answering their phones. So I wanted to tell them, you know, they need to get this guy off. But their phone must have been ringing off the hook at that point. But
yeah.
I was very, very impressed with Donovan McNabb and his statements. He seemed like a very, the kind of person who should be a talk radio show host rather than Limbaugh.
Or how about somebody like that that has that type of class and that honesty and certainly the perspicacity as to what needed to be done? How about somebody like that running for office? Wouldn't that be great to have politicians that really put an importance on good character?
Yeah, exactly. I think he'd be a great person to have in Congress or Senate or any place like that.
Yeah, I'm just speaking what little I know. All right. Well, thank you very much for the call, Pablo. And, I'm going to read you, and I'm going to make sure that the last section of the show, which will come right before the top of the hour, I'm going to get to something. Well, no, as a matter of fact, I might try to get to it sooner than that because I think it's a very important story. But it has to do with lesbians who were born as women oppressing lesbians who were born as men. Now, it sounds a little gratuitous, and I'm saying it that way on purpose, because it is a gratuitous headline, but it's got a serious downside, or, well, it's got a serious side to it. But for what can local people do? For my own little paper here in Vermont, Williamstown, Vermont, members of the local Order of the Eastern Star will hold their second annual Victorian Tea on Saturday in an effort to raise money for their Adopt-a-Family project. And to make a longer article shorter, it's this real, it's local group, you know, no more than 10 or 12 people get together, form this, and do this Victorian Teas where they raise money to help local families who are in need, you know, because people recognize that all around us there are folks that either aren't going to be reached by government assistance or don't want to be, or that it's just the government assistance, even when it reaches, isn't enough. So there is things that we can do at the local level. And that's the thing. I want you to walk away from this radio after I'm done. Don't, you know, you've got 15 minutes. Sit your butt back down there. After I'm done, I want you to walk away from this radio feeling like, well, you know, I'm frustrated, I'm pissed, but I've got some power to change things, even if it's one little thing. If I'm just one little bitty baby cog on this humongous wheel, you know? And that's really what I would love to have you leaving by. I want to get, all right, let me see if I can find this. There's an interesting story here, and it really is kind of, like I say, it starts off being rather gratuitous, but it's an interesting little story that, among other places, it came from Al Jazeera, and I'll be darned, I can't find it now, and it's too bad. But I can paraphrase the story for you pretty good here, in that it literally is about lesbians in Australia who were born as men trying to oppress lesbians in Australia who are lesbians who were born as women trying to oppress the lesbians who were born as men. And the thing is, they were having this lesbian festival in Australia, and they only wanted to invite, literally, they only wanted to invite lesbians. Ah, here's my article. Lesfest is to take place in January of 2004. Organizers of an Australian lesbian festival have run into a politically correct storm after being accused of discriminating against transsexuals. The Victorian Civil and Administrative Appeals Tribunal overturned a ruling on Tuesday which had allowed organizers of Lesfest to be exempt of equal opportunities laws and allow only female-born lesbians to attend or work at the festival. The original complaint of the exemption came from a transsexual lobby group, the Australian Women Network, and it goes on to discuss it a little more. Now, this may be, the story itself may be a little gratuitous, but here's where I think the important thing is here. This came from AlJazeera.net. Now, if you go to English.AlJazeera.net, that's the website for it. Al Jazeera is now, you know, like Reuters and AP, they do their wire service on the internet. Al Jazeera does. Now, I don't know about you, but the Al Jazeera, originally knew, had that Arab edginess, you know, about the Iraqi war, and they were considered the Muslim extremist of reports, you know. And these were the folks, Al Jazeera, they were the ones that were putting out those photos where half the kid's head was missing. They were showing the dead bodies, the results of errant bombs and stuff. And at first I was looking at this story on Al Jazeera, and I'm not really knowing what to make of it. But then it hit me. This is what the Arabs think of us, ladies and gentlemen, literally. This is how the Arabs sit down and they say, well, how can we assure the Americans that we're in there serious and big time? I know, oppressed men-born lesbians. That will get the Americans' attention. This is what literally, when you go back to all the media that we've been talking about today and the coverage, you know, this is what the Arabs think of us. This is the low opinion, is that this story about a Lesfest that was sued, and now the lesbians born as men can attend the same festival as the lesbians born as women. That's how Al Jazeera kind of announces, hey, Americans, look, we're for real. It's kind of a little bit of a sickness. I got to tell you, it's not a little bit of a sickness. It's we're going to call it kind of a big bit of sickness. So it's been a fun. It's been fun. There's a couple other things that I want to get to if we have time, but we're going to stop and take a break. And there's Armand from Florida. He's on the line waiting. So, Armand, you hold on through this break, and as soon as we come back, we'll get to you. And you just may end up having the last word today. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman, who's absent with official leave, giving the Heritage Foundation hell. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free, and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, man, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Tom Hartman Show.
Ta-da! We have caught somebody doing something right.
Yes, indeed, folks. Dennis Kucinich. Dennis Kucinich has introduced a bill into the United States Congress called the Benjamin Franklin True Patriot Act. And Dennis Kucinich's law would repeal sections of the USA Patriot Act that authorize sneak and peek searches, warrantless library, medical, and financial record services, and the detention and deportation of non-citizens without meaningful judicial review. Beyond the Patriot Act, the bill also cements the fundamental right of attorney-client privilege and restores transparency in the Department of Justice and Homeland Security by revoking FOIA, Freedom of Information Act secrecy orders, along with other important provisions. As Dennis Kucinich said, and I quote, after September 11th, Americans did not authorize the deterioration of the first, 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, and 14th Amendments.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom, who's absent with official leave out giving hell to the Heritage Foundation. You're listening to the True People's Radio. And Armin, before I get to you real quick, I just want to mention here, out of this CBS News New York Times poll, how many people would vote for George W. Bush as opposed to an unnamed Democrat? Well, it's tied, 44% each. Now, who will win in 2004? And this is one that pisses me off a lot. Registered voters, they say George W. Bush, 50%. Democrat candidate, 35%. BS! Believe in yourself. Okay, Armand, what have you got to say for yourself?
I'd like to know, where is a Ken Starr when we really... really need one.
He's curled up underneath a rock, Armand. Where do you think he's at?
Where do I think he's at?
Yeah, where do you think?
I think he's at Arnold Schwarzenegger's restaurant having groper.
That's funny. A little bit of groper with some fries on the side, please. My God, it's awe-inspiring. I mean, look. That was Tamara in Alabama who was kind of like, why are we talking about all of this stuff? Why aren't we talking about the jobs and reaching out to these southern blue-collar workers and stuff? And Tamara, we do. But, I mean, Armand, I agree with you. It's this absolute disbelief that somebody can be admitting a groper, a serial groper, and have all these comments about how he loves Hitler and how he loves power and eenie weenies by bringing it up. Huh?
No kidding.
Okay, well, thank you, Armand. I appreciate your input. You have a great weekend. And it is, you know, it's reached the point, actually, with me where it's gotten so ludicrous, absolutely ludicrous with all this. It's becoming funny. The one thing I did not get to that I really kind of wanted to, because I think it's important. This has to do with Limbaugh and his drug addiction. And I guess I'll just try to frame it as one last question. Would you expect somebody like a Rush Limbaugh to lose everything, literally, lose all of his property, lose his job, lose all of his money, everything for being a drug addict? Because he's going to be, you know, he's in serious trouble. We're dealing with serious amounts of drugs here with Limbaugh. And if it's not all right for Limbaugh to lose everything for being a drug addict, why is it okay for some poor inner city dude or woman to lose everything because they're drug addicts? That in a nutshell just shows the insanity of the drug war, the way that it's prosecuted. And on that note, folks, go out and do a little bit of things. Make somebody smile. You'll feel better. I'm going to have a great day. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.